Hey soccer friends, I just want to give a shout out to our partner, TeamPlayer. They are changing the game on how you find the perfect soccer team for your player. Parents, this means no more endless social media scrolling to find information on teams. With TeamPlayer, everything you need to know is just a few clicks away. It's simple, straightforward, and lets you find the best coach and team for your player without any of the usual headaches. And coaches, we all know how tough it can be to get your team noticed, but when you subscribe to one of TeamPlayer's team plans, you instantly get access to set up an online team profile that allows you to reach more potential players and showcase what your team is all about. It's super easy and lets players and parents see why your team could be the right fit for them. And if you sign up using the promo code PITCH, you can try any team plan free for 1 month. So whether you're managing a team or searching for one, come on over to www.teamplayer.us. That is TeamPlayer.us. And come give TeamPlayer a look. Family-owned Soccer Innovation is your go-to source for top-quality equipment. Whether you're a player, a supportive family member, or a dedicated coach, they have everything you need to elevate your game. For players, their innovative equipment are designed to boost your skills and performance on the pitch. From their agility cones to their portable goals, they have you covered. And family members, they offer durable equipment that's built to last because we know your support is critical to your player. Coaches, trust me, they can provide the equipment you need to run effective training sessions and shape the next generation of soccer players. Visit Soccer Innovations at soccerinnovations.com to start elevating your game with them. And if you use the code PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, you can receive up to 10% off your next order. Hello and welcome back to Jet by the Pitch. This is Ian Babcock, your host. This week is part two with Katie Heap with Future Athletic. Now, I'm not going to divulge too much, but so let's start this chat and head to the pitch. As parents dive into this, I mean, you have a roster of what, maybe 28 players for a college team, maybe 36 players, depending on how deep they go. And there's not money for everyone, and they have to rely on academics. So as you're looking at this, are you hoping for more for the athletic scholarship, or are you more branching towards the academics and trying to help them navigate that side of the world because they're more likely to get an academic than a sports scholarship?
Yeah, my goal at Future Athletic is to get them as much money as I can. I don't care if it comes from athletic. I don't care if it comes from academic. If it comes from both, great. I want to get them the most that they can get across the 4 years. So that's my goal, is to get them as much as they can, right? Depends on the level, depends upon, you know, how many players are coming in. D3, right? D3, you can only get academic scholarship. You can't even get athletic scholarship. But there's ways that the schools, like, can understand financial situations as well, and they can kind of help out. And so, like, a D3 or NAIA, maybe there's not as much athletic scholarship, but they can, you know, since, let's say, my players in Texas and they're in Louisiana, okay, well, you know, we consider Texas residents, you know, maybe more like in-state tuition, so we can help on costs, you know. So there's kind of different things that the colleges can do and, like, work around and help support, like, financial aid. But in terms of what I'm doing with Future Athletic, I want to get the most that I can, whether it comes from athletic or academic. I don't really care. I just want to get them, you know, the most that I can.
Now, since you're going to be working across the avenue, so to speak, with athletes, not just soccer, do other sports get more scholarships, athletic scholarships, than others? Or is it so many per team? Because my understanding, my train of thought goes, I look at football. And football, I feel like they give out scholarships like candy, especially when they want a player. And then you come to soccer and they can't even give half the team a scholarship, where in football, majority, 75% or more of the roster
is on some form of sports scholarship and not academics. So this is where my train of thought is going. Like, that's why I asked, do you see it shifting? Because if soccer can fill a stadium just as good as they can a collegiate football game, I think we're going to see a shift in the dynamics of scholarships and the cost. I mean, I can't remember what I heard. It was 2019, I think it was. New Mexico State's total budget for the year was like $3 million. Don't quote me on the numbers, but I'm just throwing a number out there, like $3 million. And that includes all the staff and scholarships and travel. And it just blew my mind. Then you go to football and they have a $100 million budget for the year, and you get college programs cut. And it's if everyone just gave up 10% of their budget, no programs would have to be cut. And it's really fascinating. And do you see with that? So how do you see the future going then? With all sports, not just, do you think sports scholarships are going to be just as strong in the future? Or do you think, going back once again, will they have to more rely on the academic sides or grants even to go to school?
Yeah, interesting question. I think that my thought is, I think there's a potential. Okay, so football and baseball, or football and basketball, right, are kind of like the sports that typically bring in the most money for the schools, right? So I think that's why, right, they get more scholarship dollars. Now, if we can increase, I just don't see, because like if you think about football and basketball, and I think kind of next in line baseball, maybe like they get nationally broadcasted. Now the soccer does when it gets to kind of like the later stages, maybe ESPN on, online ESPN3 or whatever will stream a game here or there. But I just feel like since football, basketball, kind of baseball, they get more national like recognition and viewership, that the more money is going to go to them. That's just unfortunately, right? I don't necessarily like, I think it should be spread out evenly and whatever, but like I just think that that's just how it's going to be. Now, in terms of like the change in scholarships, I almost see the change in scholarships for the bigger sports, right? You see these kids like the UT quarterback, right? Manning, Arch Manning. He's making millions through his NIL deal and for being a Manning, and he hasn't even played yet,
Right.
right? Like that is just insane to me. So I think more so like NIL is going to play a big factor into these guys' like recruiting process. Again, I just think soccer is still not there yet in the sense of like the viewership, and I think it's growing and I want it to grow, and I think the men's and women's soccer program should be getting, NIL big dollar deals, but it's just not quite there yet. I think it could continue to grow and get there, but I think a more interesting thing maybe is like the NIL side of things for the athletic side, and how that's going to change, because NIL right now too, I think, is still like kind of the wild, wild west, right? No one really knows what it is, what's going on with it, what, how it's going to change college sports. Are they professionals? Are they amateur? All of these things. And so I think the scholarship side for the athletic is kind of that NIL type vibe. And then I think the academic scholarship and or grants and things that you can apply for, like I think those are all always going to be there. But yeah, it's kind of like, well, what's going to happen with the athletic scholarships and NIL and those types of things?
I forget about NIL because I feel like, take Archie Manning, he's making, like you said, millions of dollars. And there's that Louisiana gymnast, LSU gymnastics young lady, making millions of dollars in her NIL. Is she still getting a full ride, or is part of her NIL agreement paying for her education? I think that's something that will have to be addressed in the future, like you said. Moving along the same type of lines, how do you approach the parents then with this? Because the athletes, I'll use me as an example because I feel like in many aspects of life, I'm not the most well understood of things. And thankfully, I have a very smart wife that understands things better than I can or digest it better than I can. And when you're talking to the parents, how do you relieve the stress of this whole process? Because as we walk into it as parents, there are certain avenues, finances, but just applying to get into a school or a school to look at you. And like you said, they're recruiting the parents. I've heard so many stories now when they have someone that they know locally go out and watch such and such player at a game. They go introduce themselves to the parents, or afterwards they introduce themselves to the parents so they know that they're some crazy person looking at their kid, or they don't say anything at all, and they watch how the parent interacts in the game. I'll raise my hand still. I have a hard time not yelling at the ref. I have hand gestures for my son. If he catches me, he's getting to the point he no longer looks for mom and dad approval. He is, after he makes a goal, he never looks over at us if he makes a mistake, thankfully. But if he makes a goal, he doesn't look at us. We do challenge him to do like a bunny hop across the field so he knows that we'll get a kick out of it. But it's those small little things that we do as parents. But like my biggest thing is I yell at a ref. And depending on how many games we sat through that day determines on how level-headed I can be. And sometimes it's how do you guide parents to learn to hold back emotion? Because it's easy to get caught up with the people around you at games. If the parent next to me is yelling quite a bit, I'll yell just as much as they do. And it's nothing consciously I'm doing, it's all subconscious, I've realized, and I have to consciously make an effort not to sit in my chair and boil in the pieces. It's learning as an adult not to let the emotions kick in. How do you guide parents through that process then? Because I feel like there is them at the games, then it's them helping them fill out their applications, and then it's them getting them ready to how to communicate. And that's what you're doing, is teaching them this process. But what advice do you give parents then? Because that's such a hard phase. I can't imagine going through it. And I am 4 years away from that stage. My son's only in fourth grade before we have to start thinking about this.
Ooh, it's going to fly by.
Yes. So what advice would you give?
Yeah, I think in that sense, I think it's okay for parents to have emotion and be, you know, into the game and things like that. I remember back in my club days, my club coach was like, had to sit our parents down and be like, you know, you're not going to be doing this or this. Like, it's just not going to be a good look. And I also think about, because I played against a team where a parent was a little over the top, right? And honestly, I felt bad for the kid, because like, you don't want, like, I wouldn't want that to be my parent being crazy. And I'm not saying that you're being crazy or anything like that, but like, I wouldn't want my parent to be the one causing the problems, you know, because it just isn't a good look. Now, again, it's good, it's great to have passion and okay, it's fine to yell at the ref every now and again, like, come on, you know, like my parents did that. But to the extent of where you're like getting kicked out of games and things like that, that's like a little too much. And like, you just gotta like rein it in and just understand that you're representing your kid too on the sidelines, you know? So don't, you know, really just don't take it too far. It's okay to have the passion and the emotions, because that's your kid out there. Of course, I'm gonna be the same way, but I'm also gonna understand that, you know, if I'm being the crazy parent, well, my kid's coach might not, you know, want to play my kid, or, you know, there might just be something there that I wouldn't want to cause that part. And then come the recruiting process, you know, those college coaches are looking at all of those things, because they're going to have to, they're buying into the parents as well and the family and who they're, you know, they're committing to this program. The player is, but they're looking at the parents too. So I would just say, like, have the passion, be supportive, but you know, don't be that one parent that it goes over the top. Think about your kid, and like your kid, like, you don't want to be that person for your kid. You know, I don't want my kid to, you know, look at me on the sidelines and be like, oh, I just don't want them at the game. You know, I don't want that. I want it to be a competitive, passionate thing, but also not go over the top. Hopefully, back whenever I have kids, And they're going through this process. Hopefully they're playing sports, but they can do whatever they want. But hopefully I'll be able to rein it in, and you know, we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
With that being said, like, I look at it as I'll use Dennis because he talked about it in his episode. He coached at a very high level in the UK and played at a very high level. And he gave notes to the coach. And he goes, I was probably the coach's least favorite person, college coach, because I was constantly giving feedback. But I only cared about my daughter's progression. And he would ask questions and give feedback. And I know that that's not a typical parent's response. But as a parent with athletes, with their current coach, do they talk to the current coaches? Players coach, like if you're playing for, when you played for Tattoo, did the college coach ever reach out to Tattoo and talk to him about you as a player and your family? Or do you know this, or is this part of the normal process? Because for me, either an assistant coach might, or whoever it might be, will be deep diving into every player. If they're bringing on 10 players, I think you want to, and you have a 25 applicants or 100 applicants you're diving through, how much time do you think each college deep dives into each player, from parents to player, even going to their high school and talking to their high school? I'm assuming they would want grades of some sort. And can they do that? I don't know any of this process because I've never dealt with, I never played college sports. So I don't know. I mean, so what is the process then from the college side to help the parents understand what the college will do?
Yeah, so the college coaches definitely talk to the club coaches, especially because they, right, the club coach sees them every day and is around them every day. So 100% the college coaches are talking to Tattoo about player X, Y, and Z. They are also asking questions. Okay, well, great. I know this player can play at this level, but okay, well, how's the parents, you know, do you know anything about their grades, right? They're definitely having discussions. Now my, like, club coaches may or may not tell you that these coaches are, you know, talking to me about you. I think it kind of depends on the age and things like that. But I also always tell parents, like, I want you to be the supportive parent. You know, let me handle kind of the recruiting process to kind of just take it off your plate a little bit. It's not to say like, I don't want you doing anything, but you know, like, I'm the expert. I've been through this process. A lot of parents don't know anything about the process. And so, you know, I just ask parents, hey, like, let me take the lead on this. I want you to be part of it every step of the way. But you know, this is my expertise. College coaches are talking to your club coaches. Are they talking to high school coaches? Maybe. Like Tom, for instance, I don't know if he necessarily talked to my high school coach, but I know he showed up at games without me knowing. I think that he did that because I think high school soccer, you do get a glimpse of like playing against players, you know, 3 years older than you. Like, if you're a freshman, I played on varsity, so I was playing with girls 3-4 years older than me, you know, and I was able to hold my own. And so I think that's why he did go to those games. I don't think you can get recruited out of high school, and college coaches go to high school games to recruit, but I don't think that's not the top way that college coaches go and see you. They want to go see the club stuff. So that's kind of what I would say, I guess, in terms of who the college coaches communicate with. It's definitely more so on the club side. I think they will show up at high school games, but not necessarily the priority because of the level too, right? High school soccer isn't as high of a level typically as club. And that's just it, because you don't know what players look. Luckily for me, I played at McKinney Boyd High School. And whenever I was there, we had a killer team and we had a lot of D1 players, and I won a state championship at Boyd. I think it was my junior year, I won a state championship, but we had, you know, luckily we had some really good players like A&M, myself was Tech. We had, man, I don't even know. But we had a lot of great players, and so it just worked out that we all went to Boyd, you know? So also I could see a team like that, coaches wanting to come see potentially and see how they play together against older players. So
you get a good showcase then. Now, as you're going through this process of interactions with coaches and how everything works, do you have a specific strategy for these players and parents already lined up? Like you said, you have a template of at this age, you should be doing X, Y, and Z. You should be making this many reach outs or this many things in this time frame, because every recruiting program has their secret sauce that they think works the best. And as they're going through this, is there anything that you use to help with like the academic side? Is there, do you have your connections locally? So like, say you're struggling this, I have a tutor that specializes in this, you can go see this person. Or do you have your own person that will help them get better grades on SATs or the whatever standardized testing they have to improve on in order to get into college? Do you have that already set up locally with tutors, so to speak, or programs that help them better understand that? Because that's technically not your area, but it falls under your umbrella.
Totally. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the academic side, I basically guide in the sense of like, hey, you know, this date is coming up, like we gotta start our test prep, you know, or hey, we got to make sure we get a couple tests, you know. That's kind of my guidance in terms of the academic side, because I do have a partnership with a local company, Bybee College Prep. So they are going to come in, and basically I'm just going to be like, hey, you know, these guys know the academic side. They can prep you and help you test in these areas because, you know, you need these test scores. So that is it, that's how I handle the academic side. On my side of the academics, it's more so just saying, hey, reminder on these dates and these things. And hey, we need to make sure we do take a test, you know, here and here. And maybe, hey, okay, well, you only scored this on this test. I think you can get a little bit more, and it's just going to showcase you a little bit better to coaches. So, hey, let's take it one more time. Let's hit this personal best, and then you'll be kind of good to go. But that's really where I kind of pass the academics off to, you know, somebody else who that's kind of their expertise. So and not only in the academic side too, you know, I have connections with sports psychologists and things like that, so to help out with all areas of the game, because that's what the kid needs, you know, because not only am I going to help them in the recruiting process, but I need to make sure that they're taking care of their bodies, that they're, you know, getting in the gym, that they're training, that they're putting in the extra work to help prepare them for the next level, you know. And, you know, really we need them to be kind of their best self until they get that verbal commitment, right? They're showcasing to colleges throughout, you know, whatever period. And when they do commit, it switches my role a little bit in the sense of now we've switched from, hey, we got to talk to all these coaches. Now take a deep breath. All right. Now we got to keep you healthy, keep you improving your game, make sure you're getting in the gym, you're continuing to get good grades in school. So really at that point, it's kind of like maintaining in terms of like academics and things like that. And then continuing to make sure, hey, that they're putting in that work so that when they do step on campus, they're ready to go.
So do you have classes on this for parents or group classes where you, or a webinar, whatever it may be, you go run out a hall somewhere and you say, I have college prep classes for athletics for your business, like showcasing what you're doing. Do you guys do that type of stuff already, or is it in the works, or you guys do it a certain way to get everything out there?
Yeah, it's kind of in the works. Right now, my reach is all organic, all through connections, social media, but that is definitely in the works to where, hey, I want to go into these high schools, into these clubs, or just like locally, you know, put a workshop together to talk about the recruiting process and in hopes of, you know, getting, you know, kind of the one-on-one clientele. Because for me, my favorite thing about Future Athletic is the mentorship part of it, really, right? And it's connecting with the player one-on-one. And it's really it's really about the player needs, you know, because I know you ask questions about, well, hey, eighth grade, you know, what are you learning there? Well, maybe the player's ahead of the game, you know, on certain areas. And I don't necessarily need to kind of go over those things. So the beauty of Future Athletic, it's a tailored approach. So it's like based on the player's needs and kind of where they're at in the process and where I see them going. And then it's going to change each year, you know, maybe they get injured, right? Maybe an injury happens and that's okay. Maybe we'll back off a little bit on the communications. We'll make sure, hey, you get right. I have doctors that I know in the area that I trust, you know, to check whatever it is out that's going on. And it's about getting you back to the field, right? But it doesn't mean the recruiting process stops in that sense, you know? So it's a very hands-on approach and tailored approach to the recruiting process. And I think that's why I stand out from, you know, the other recruiting platforms out there, is because I think that they're kind of just trying to sell, sell, sell. And I want to connect. And I'm going to have, you know, lower numbers. I'm not going to have 500 kids on my own. You know, I only have a certain capacity, right? So I'm going to be onboarding other people like me who want to take on, you know, kids and mentor them. You know, that's kind of down the line type stuff. I think my network stands out from a lot of people. You know, I've been through the process myself, so it's easy for me to tell the kid, I've been through this process. I know where you're at. You know, I've been in high school. I've been not the best student. I've been, you know, all these things that I can be empathetic to where you're at in hopes of that they listen to one thing that I say, just to kind of get them to the next level. And like, that's really the biggest thing, is like, I want them to start becoming more aware and teaching them things that I wish I knew, you know, back when I was their age. Like if I had me back then, like what could my like learning curve have been? You know, what could my playing level have gotten to? I don't know, you know, I can't speak to that, but that's kind of my goal, is like, I want to be somebody that I wish I had back when I was, you know, in high school. And same on the coaching side, right? I'm a different coach to whoever comes and sees me and trains with me. They're like, wow, I've never done this before in my life. I'm like, I mean, I think it's an awesome compliment. I love it. But I'm like, how, you know, I'm very technical and detail oriented. And so that's kind of how I am throughout my businesses and things like that. So.
So as you're going through this process of everything, and trying to think of how to phrase this, as you're going through this process, how do you stay up to date with all the changes? I mean, colleges change their admission process. They change how they're looking at people they're letting into colleges. I mean, how do you stay up to date? Is it that you have contacts with all these colleges, or that you have made personally, or it's because you have contacts of contacts that help you through this process? Because I know that if my player wants to go to X, Y, and Z school, and majority of them are from this region, the odds of that player getting in is much harder than if they chose a different, or much easier if they went to a different school, because some colleges really look locally versus on a national scale, even for athletes. So how do you stay up to date on the admission process for all these colleges that are out there? I mean, sport-wise, there's different criteria, but.
Yeah, for sure. I think for me, number one, my personal connections. Again, I think another reason why Future Athletic stands out compared to others is my network. I think I have a lot of great personal connections with college coaches, with programs. And then we always talk about, right, the soccer world is so big but so small. So I probably know somebody that knows this college coach if I don't personally know them. And so I think my network speaks to that. I think I do a lot of research and things like that. The platform that I use does a lot of great like updates and things like that. So I kind of trust them on that side of things in terms of like that filtering system with schools. I know college coaches change all the time as well. So I do my personal research. But it's not to say I go look up the million schools that are out there and I'm like, you know, looking up every single school and coach and things like that, because like, again, it's based upon like this kid's priorities and what they're wanting. And so, you know, if I have a criteria and I can put a list of, you know, a number of schools, then I can personally, you know, okay, let me see, let me look up this school and just, you know, see what they've got or what types of players are out there, you know. And again, that's probably something I would give the player to do too. You know, I would do my personal research and make sure that, hey, okay, is this a good program? And when we do have our meeting, I would probably give them, you know, one of the tasks in the checklist is, okay, going through your list of schools and saying, tell me what positions are graduating your year, you know, that you're going to come in, you know? So I'll give them things to do. And then we'll be able to kind of talk about it and all of that. But it's not to say I go and look up the million schools or anything like that, but definitely rely on my personal connections. You know, the good old fashioned internet, all those sorts of things.
Good old fashioned internet. My goodness, we're dating ourselves. We're calling it old. How do you leverage technology to your advantage then? Because with everything changing, you said you use a platform to help filter out players or schools for this. Do you have like an app that you use, or is this all part of a website, or is this something that you do with them one-on-one? And, or is it something a family could go and go to your website and sit down and say, I want to go look at colleges that are in the South, like you said, that are D1, and what's the list? And, or is it something you sit down with them personally and go through? Because I know that website side, it's a whole different world, or an app even. There's so much out there. So how are you helping families and how are you leveraging the technology with them?
Yeah, that's great. I mean, that's what, one of the things that I use as a selling point to parents is the technology side. And so this platform that I use, basically, I white label it as Future Athletic. And I think that's the right term. And basically I use their filtering system. So the reason why I joined this platform and I'm utilizing it for my kids is really for the filtering system of schools and being able to say, okay, these are my criteria. Here's my list of schools. And then like that kind of saves to the kid's profile. So now, you know, here's my starting list, right? And now I can tell the player, okay, of this list, you need to personally go in and this is kind of how I build they have another side of the platform to where I can build checklists. And so it can basically, you know, a kid signs up with me and I sign them. Well, the first thing is like a month worth of like a checklist. And it's not that much. It's like one thing a week, basically. And it just, it starts off kind of the beginning, like the more educational side of things. And then they can type, journal. I really love kind of like the part that they can go in and like personalize kind of like their list of schools. And then I can personalize that, like where they're at, and boom, I can send them over like a checklist. Okay, they're here on this part of the process. Boom. Okay, well, I have an educational checklist that talks all about this, right? And then they're going to go through the steps where they personally write or type into it, or they have their own journal that they write in. So that's why I really love this platform and I'm utilizing this platform for. And then in the platform, they also do like email to coaches, which I don't really like. If you're ever a part of a recruiting platform, don't use the email like thing within it. Like you need to be personally emailing them from your personal email. You can utilize all the recruiting tools you can for, you know, maybe like the best thing you like about them, but you know, don't be emailing schools like through the platform. You need to be doing that kind of through your personal. So they have like those sorts of things on there that like all the platforms have. You know, you have your profile on it, and then that basically gets, you know, once they create their profile, it goes on Future Athletics. Our athletes or whatever, and then you'll be kind of listed on the Future Athletic page with your profile.
So as they're going through this process of doing everything and writing it all out and getting it all set up, you've mentioned verbal commitment, and then later on they have their signing day for college. What is the difference? Because in my head, verbal is just verbal. It's not a contract. It's just saying, as an athlete, this is where I'm going. Does the school have to accept that, or is it something that it's been mutually agreed on? Or is it just the athlete stating that? Because I feel like anyone can say, I'm going to go to SMU and go play at SMU, but there might not be a mutual agreement that's verbal. So how does that work in the collegiate world then?
Yeah, so a verbal commitment would be the mutual agreement verbally that, hey, I'm committed. Hey, Coach Tom Stone at Texas Tech University, I'm committed to your school. Like, I want to go here. Woo, yay. And they're all happy and things like that. It's a mutual thing. It's not me just saying, I'm going to go to Tech. It's a mutual thing. It is not contractually bound. So, could be good or bad, right? The player, on the player side, maybe I can decommit and go to commit to another program. But also maybe the program, which, I mean, it hasn't happened in my experience in the recruiting world, at least on the soccer side, to where maybe the school could probably even come in and be like, hey, like, our scholarship dollars have lowered, you know, something like that. That could happen too, because it's not contractually bound. And really, so that's the verbal commitment, right? Now, signing day, that's like where you sign your letter of intent. And so that's like your real commitment to the school in writing, and you're signing that contract. So that's the difference between the two. You know, verbal commitment, I verbally committed my sophomore year. So we both mutually agreed, hey, Tech wants me, I want to go there. Okay, I let them know I was going to be committed to there and be going there. Now, I had to wait for signing day. But that's essentially kind of what the differences are between the two. But it's definitely a mutual agreement. And you'll always see, I verbally committed, or I committed to X. Well, that, if it's not, it's probably before the signing day. So it's would technically be a verbal commitment. But when you see those announcements come out, it's a mutual thing.
Now, when they do have their signing day, and like you said, it's just a verbal one, but when they do sign their letter of intent to go to college at a certain school, can they still back out of that? Or are they now locked in for so long? Or is there, because both, I mean, most contracts are something that can be, somehow it can be broken. Someone can find a loophole. Or is it like a standardized thing, just saying like, we both agree that we want you here, I want to go there, and I'm getting X, Y, and Z if I do go here. Can that be broken by the player or the college? I mean, I'm assuming the code of conduct and things like that are the easy clauses to get out of something, but is it common for athletes to break out of it for a certain reason? Because maybe a different school, if they're going to a D2 school, now a D1 offer them a full ride, is it more likely to happen for it to break, or is it they're committed and now they're stuck, so to speak?
Yeah, I think there's always a way to get out of it. I personally have an experience, and I didn't go through that either, but I haven't been through that process of, okay, if I like sign on the dotted line and then, okay, oops, I don't want to go here anymore. I haven't personally experienced that, but I think there's always a way that you could get out of that contract. And, you know, even like the transfer stuff, right? It's kind of like, you know, I know there's, of course, a bunch of different rules on that too, right? If you transfer in conference, you know, do you have to sit out a year? Sometimes there's things of like where the coaches can be like, listen, like, you know, they didn't necessarily play, you know, it's, I can basically sign something to where, hey, you don't have to like sit out a whole year. There's really different things that happen in regards to that. So short answer is yes, I'm sure you can get out of it, but I don't necessarily know the specifics on that, that side of it.
Gotcha. It's just an interesting, because I was just, as we're talking about this and you talked about early on, like when your Dash contract was pulled, it made me think, like, does that really happen? And how often does it happen? And I just
yeah, I mean, I'm sure it does. I'm sure it does. I mean, geez, in the pros, it's like almost like, you know, they can do whatever. You sign a contract, it doesn't mean anything,
right?
You know, because you find out on Twitter you got traded, you know, or you don't even hear from upper management on the change, and you get to find out through social media. That happens all the time in the pros and every single sport. It's really sad, and then you start to question you as a player. You're like, okay, so I really have like zero security, you know. Right. And essentially, whenever I was playing pro, like they could drop my contract at any moment. It really didn't matter. They could drop my contract, and so that's like a really big deal. And there was a lot of like the NWSL draft just happened, and so there was a couple of trades that I saw come through. And based on the players and what they say, you can tell that they really had no idea, you know, like they're not necessarily being like, oh, I had no idea that I was going to get, you know, they don't say that, but they say it in a very professional way. And I'm like, so you didn't know, even though you were going to get traded,
right, you know, get drafted.
Yeah.
It's so crazy, it's like, to me. It brings me into my last good question for you. I feel it is, especially on the men's sides, I don't see it so much on the women's side, at least soccer, because we have a really great soccer program on the women's side here throughout the country. But the men's side, we tend to get a lot more foreigners coming in and playing, and especially on scholarship. And I feel like we're starting getting to the point in this country, we have enough talent, they're just not being found. And do you see, or how do you advise parents of that? Because I feel, I know a lot of players that came to the States that are coaches now. I mean, you're talking maybe 15 years ago, most of them that I know, played here, and they came over to play, and they weren't scouted until they were in their early 20s. Some of them, I mean, are just 20, and they come over and they take a slot in a D1 school. And there was a graph from last year, I can't remember, but it was just an astonishing number of how many foreign players come into the States on full rides. And how do you advise parents with that fear? Because I feel like that is a real fear, because they might go scout player A over there and they bring back two instead of one. And it happens. And I've heard the story, and I've heard it from recruiters now, and or former recruiters. And how do you advise them to go through this process with navigating that fear of possibly competing with someone they don't even know, because they aren't even at the showcases here?
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely like, I guess probably a fear of parents, but at the end of the day, I mean, you can't necessarily control that. Unfortunately, at the end of the day, it is a business in a sense, right? The college program is a business. So if they see a player overseas that they think could make an impact in their program, they're gonna make it happen, you know? So it's just something you can't really control. But if you as a player and you as a family are dialed in, you know, your player's doing what they need to, you know, they're being a kid, you're being a parent, and you have support kind of on the recruiting side, I think you will be successful. You can't control what there's recruiting going on all the time, right? I know a lot of a college coach's job is the recruiting side of things, you know, because they're always wanting to bring in talent because they want to win. So you can't necessarily control it. So I guess my advice would be to kind of just focus on your player, focus on, you know, where you're at in the process. And if you're doing the right things, if you're letting college coaches know, hey, I'm interested in you, because you made a great point earlier. Like, how, if I'm here in Texas and I want to go to a school in Idaho, well, how the heck are they going to know about me? Well, guess what? You're going to talk to them. You're going to let them know. I'm going to let them know, you know, like that you're interested in their program. So it's really just about, again, staying committed, making sure, you know, you're doing everything you need to do so that you're successful. Bring people in your circle, reach out to people, talk to your coaches, say, hey, what level do you think I'm at? You know, like, do you think I'm here? Do you think I'm here? That'll kind of start the process, start you thinking about it. and then hopefully, you know, your player really starts to take it seriously. But don't be the parent that comes to me, you know, their senior year, and I've been preaching this from the beginning, and then you're coming back to me senior year and be like, actually, can I have your help? Okay, because listen, there's no time, right? Don't be rushing in the process, because there's not going to be any options. There's going to be a very few options, not any scholarship dollars. And, you know, you want to make sure your kid gets into the right program, the right fit for them. And that's my goal. And that's why I say, got to start early.
Julian Eyestone recently graduated half a year early, I think it was, or a year early from high school, so he could go play a year of college soccer. And is that something you advise parents to do if they're already at the top of their game, or if they want to start early? Because I think sometimes that can hurt a player, because in my opinion, looking at it from the outside, trying to travel through this, just because you graduated a year early doesn't mean you're mentally, physically, emotionally ready to go on away from home to go play. But is that something you talk about with players? Because sometimes players are done early and their senior year is just a going to school because they have to go to school, not because they need to be there. Is it something you talk to players about, or is it just it is what it is type of thing?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think, again, it really depends on the player. So I kind of just address those things based upon the player and kind of where they're at in the process. My kid that just signed to, not just signed, she is going to play D1. She graduated early and she's there right now. She just got to her D1 campus. And for her, I think it was great, because now she gets a full like spring season under her belt. And I think it's her and one other freshman that got to go early, and she's going to have that experience and kind of get in the flow of things before like the real season even starts. So I think that was very positive for her. And she's like, yeah, I'm taking like one high school class right now just to finish. And I'm like, gosh. So she was basically taking her last high school class and then training, preparing. And now she's there, and she'll get a full spring season under her belt. And for her, that's very positive, I think. Because I think, like, again, it depends on the player, but I think it's a good idea if you can, and if it works out. For me, I was taking classes my senior year, and I was, like, a normal student. I graduated on time, and then I went, you know. And then you have, like, kind of that 1 month preseason before the real season starts. But if somebody can go early and can swing that, I think it's great, because you're becoming a student athlete like a whole half, you know, a whole spring season before the real deal happens. So you kind of get in the flow of things and how things need to be. She's going to be way more experienced than all the other freshmen. Like, she was extremely nervous, like as she should be and as everybody is going into it. But now, like, all, if you think about all the other freshmen who are coming in the summer, they're going to be freaking out, and she's going to be like, oh, it's fine. Like, she's going to already kind of be in her flow. So for her, it was great. And so again, player by player, if it ends up like that, I think it's great. If not, I don't think that takes away anything. As long as you're preparing and, you know, you're making sure you finish school strong and stay healthy. Like, those are the most important things.
Love it. Place of contact. How can people find you, and where can they find you?
To get in contact with me for Future Athletic or anything, honestly, you can DM me on social media. So I'm pretty active on Instagram. So @KD_Heap, that's my personal Instagram. So if you want to DM me there, for Future Athletic, so anything college recruiting related, you can shoot me a text. So my number is 214-531-7711. So that is my direct Future Athletic number. You can text me, you can call me, ask me questions. Kind of what my process is right now is, you know, once I kind of get somebody interested, you know, I have them fill out a form so I can really grab all of that information we kind of talked about before, where, you know, I can get a glimpse into the athletic side, the player side, academics, things like that. After that, jump on a quick phone call, see if it would be a good fit. Again, I don't take everybody on, but if you know, I'm interested, I will definitely let the parents know, and then we'll kind of go from there in terms of a meeting and really diving deep into, you know, what Future Athletic can do for your player.
Now, who has been your greatest influence as you as a player, and who is your greatest influence as you as a now as a coach and into this entrepreneur world that you're entering? Because I feel like you're going full circle with your career. It's, you're still continuing on with soccer, but there's people that have been influential on you. It doesn't have to be athletes. It could be anyone. But yeah, that's my last question. It's a 3-part question, I guess.
So my player,
your player, okay. You as a player, you as a coach, cause you coached, and now as an entrepreneur, because now you're taking your soccer experience and applying it to what I call the real world of life and as an entrepreneur. So who has been your greatest influence on each one of those? And they can, it will be different people, I take it, but as much time as you need for this.
Okay. All right. So growing up, it's kind of changed, you know, as a player, but I think growing up, like, one of my biggest influences was, like, I loved Mia Hamm. She was my greatest, like, I looked up to her so much within the game. So I'd say her early on. I'd say later on, like, Messi is my guy. I love, he's super technical, right? He's incredible player. And that's kind of how I was as a player. I was very, very technical and very, very smart. So I would say probably them too, were my greatest, like, inspirations. And then as a coach, I have multiple. As a coach, I love to take what I've learned from, you know, my favorite coaches of my club career. So I think Tattoo made a huge impact on me as a player first. But really that translates right into my coaching style too, because he was so technical. And I think that was a very influential stage of, like, my growth and development. And that's exactly how I coach. I'm a very technical, detail oriented coach. And then I think later on, Tom Stone, I think he really developed me as a person and as, like, a professional player. And he really hit, like, that side of things. And just, like, the amount of development he gave me at Tech, like, I don't even know, like, what it is he did, but just his philosophies, you know, impacted me on first as a player. And now, you know, I bring that kind of professionalism to everything I do now. And then the last thing was,
what you
was
as an entrepreneur.
Entrepreneur. Oh man. I would say, cause I lean on kind of social media for this. Cause, you know, I watch, like, a couple guys. I love, like, Gary V, Gary Vaynerchuk. He's on social media, big on that. I love that he keeps it real. His messages are super simple, but it's like, you think, like, somebody like him or higher up would give this, like, elaborate, you know, explanation of things. And he's like, listen, like, you know, literally a post I saw yesterday was, it was a picture of him, and it was, like, a funny picture. Like, he was like that. And it was like, you know, when people think when they hit 30 that they should have their life together, you know, and I'm going to turn 30 this year. And I'm like, I think I don't have it all figured out. And he was like, you don't need to have, you know, like 30 is like the new 20, you know, in a sense of, like, you don't have to have it all figured out. So I really rely on him for, like, those types of, like, simple, like, very realistic messages that, you know, it's like I think about, but then you're like, oh, well, it's coming from you. So, like, okay. You keep it simple too. I love that. So I'd say he's probably one up there with some other guys, but I just to keep it simple, I'd say Gary V.
Hey everyone, as we wrap up this week's episode of Chat by the Pitch, I want to say thank you for Katie for coming on and sharing what her knowledge is based on what she's doing. And listen to what she has to say, because What she is sharing is truly important for your players to get ready for college if that's the path they want to go. And it has to start from a younger age than you really think. I thought it started probably in 9th or 10th grade. Well, you really need to start younger than that, planning and figuring this stuff out. As Katie shares what her plan is and her insight is, she's very humble when she is trying to navigate this world. And she may not have all the answers, but she will find the answers for you that's needed to get your player where they need to go and be honest and forthright with you. Hey everyone, if you guys have enjoyed this podcast, have enjoyed what I've been trying to do, the messages that I'm putting out there, please give me some ratings, some stars on all the podcast sites that you listen to this on. Give me a review, share this, share with others. The more I can make this grow, the more I can continue doing this. I'm really trying to make a difference in our soccer community. So I hope you guys have enjoyed all this. And until next time, I'll see you at the pitch.